We can handle people who don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, you said
that's pretty much our entire podcast.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
This week's Geeks Without God was recorded live at Convergence 2016. Our guest is Amanda Marcotte, political journalist, and we talk with her about the 2016 election cycle.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Hi, welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover, and we're recording live at Convergence 2016.
Yeah!
As always, I'm joined by my co-hosts, Molly Glover.
I'm his wife, Molly Glover.
And Tim Wick.
I am not married to him.
And this week...
But I could because it's legal. Well, not the bigamy part, but anyway, never mind. All
right. Right. But also, like, taste, so, you know. And we're joined by our guest this week, Amanda Marcotte.
Hello.
Yay.
Hi. Marcotte, yeah. She's a political blogger. She's part of Skepchick. She's got a lot of blog credentials. You're like an online media maven of sorts.
Yeah, I mean, I would actually say I'm a journalist.
Journalist.
Oh.
Yeah, no, totally. No, that's my bad. No, that's way more accurate.
There you go. Insensitive comment number one. We're starting early.
No, it's an important distinction.
It is.
It's what you do is there's a legitimacy there. I mean, you've been a part of media campaigns political campaigns, right?
I very briefly and infamously was working on the John Edwards campaign in 2007.
Oh, why infamously?
Remember what happened with John Edwards?
No.
That's why I asked.
I had nothing to do with that.
Well, I didn't think that was not what I was suggesting.
I was hired to run their blogging network, basically, and then the Catholic League went after me at my hiring because I made a joke on my personal blog where I said I made a joke about how the Holy Ghost was the hot, sticky Holy Ghost that impregnated the Virgin Mary. I don't remember the exact...
I mean, it's not inaccurate. Like, I mean, how blasphemous can it be if it's kind of what they believe, right? I mean...
Yeah, they
but
were
they
mad.
They didn't care for it.
No, John Edwards was a little mad at me. He was like, "Why did you say that about the church?" And I was like, "'Cause it's true."
Yeah.
I bet that played like gangbusters.
So, in your career, has being an atheist been an obstacle? Like for speaking either about, you know, your own stuff or other reporting on other things online, has it been in the way at all, or is
after getting fired from the Edwards campaign?
Yeah. I mean, other than that one time.
Actually, that ended up working out well because I realized I have no career in politics.
Sure.
So I'm going to go ahead and just commit to being a journalist now. Nobody holds being an atheist against you as a journalist.
Interesting.
I live in New York. I live in the thick of, you know, I live in Sodom and Gomorrah.
You know? With your New York values.
Right.
You don't get that?
I don't understand New York values.
Oh.
I'm curious, when did you feel like, you know, you said you started blogging, that's how you got your start into journalism. Was there a moment when you felt like you made that switch? Cause I think a lot of people don't know, we have a lot of blurry distinctions these days between bloggers, political bloggers, journalists, you know, and all of that. When do you feel like you made the switch that you identified more as journalist legitimate as opposed to blogger, which I know is still a muddy area?
I guess when people started paying me, that would probably be...
Yeah.
You know, I definitely felt more real, like, when we moved from Austin to New York, and I, like, you know, actually started, you know, networking and doing the necessary work to be a freelance journalist, and now I'm a staff writer at Salon, so
oh.
yeah.
I think that that's, you know.
Which means something as opposed to being a staff writer at HuffPost.
I'm going to tell them you said that. I'm yeah. making that joke on a listserv that I'm on, the
Sweet.
HuffPost people.
We're gonna
something about the hot, sticky, whatever of HuffPost.
yeah. John Huffington. Yeah.
I'm not doing that. They've been nice to me. They've yeah. given me, they gave me the phone number for the Sanders campaign.
Oh, so. Right on.
Wow, nice.
And you're on the Speakers Bureau for the Secular Student Alliance?
I am.
What
yeah.
does that entail? Like, are you just, do you speak for them regularly or?
No, I really haven't much. I've done some speaking about... I did Syracuse University. I did a speech about feminism and atheism. That was fun.
Have you found yourself writing a lot about the atheism plus movement that was going on? You know about the you mm-hmm. know and all that when that was. I know it's not really as hot these days, but did you? I don't know. Was that a big thing for you to be able to?
I followed it, but I didn't really write about it because. I didn't really see that it had a lot of interest to a general audience outside of the atheist community that already knew everything about it.
Sure.
Whether they really did or not.
Yeah, whether they really did or not. I think it was interesting to me, though, because I think the larger world that's changing a little bit, but a few years ago, I would have said the larger world has just assumed that atheists and humanists were like the same kind yeah. of people.
Sure.
I
was just going to say, and that's changed. I think the jerks have kind of made themselves yeah. more publicly visible.
Yeah. What's your favorite story you've ever done?
Oh, God.
Or at least something that comes to mind. It doesn't, yeah. We won't hold
so
you
just,
to it.
It stands out.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun a couple months ago. I'm always just thinking about what I did last. I had a couple fun, a couple months ago when I went to cover the what was going on outside the Supreme Court when they were arguing whole women's health inside. That was interesting. I'm white and I wear big sunglasses, so I blend in well with the pro-lifers. They don't even notice me. And I got to stand there and eavesdrop over what they were talking about. Yeah. That was fun. That was
oh,
real
boy.
Fun. The weirdest, though, was the pro-choice side had some women gathered around and they were chanting, si se puede, mm-hmm. and the pro-lifers I was standing amongst started yelling, build the wall back
oh
at them.
Oh, my God.
And I was just like, really, guys? Really?
Oh, yeah. You know, you're a political reporter. And, of course, the old curse is, may you live in interesting times. And here you are as a political reporter in what I think have to be well-defined as interesting times. Is that a good thing for you? Does the upcoming political season excite you or horrify you or both?
Both. I mean, it's been so many highs and lows. I mean, I covered the Hillary Clinton victory rally because it was in Brooklyn. And man, that was so much fun. Like, people there were just, they were blazing. They were at 11. You know, they couldn't believe that this was happening. And days like that are fun. You know, I'm going to go to the RNC in a few weeks.
Oh, boy.
That might be a low. You know, you don't feel good about this country when people are chanting, build the wall.
No.
Wow. You have a couple books out. One of them, It's a Jungle Out There, The Feminist Survival Guide to Politically Inhospitable Environments. Would you say that pretty much all political environments are fairly inhospitable to women right now? Like, are there any... Like local politics or national politics, is there any scale under which it's like not just shitty for women?
No.
Yeah, that's really depressing.
Narrowing that book down was hard.
That's really depressing. Like is that where we focus to make things better in every other aspect, since that's where we can, you know, assert a lever to try to make change happen elsewhere? Is that where feminism can focus to try to make things better? Yeah. Is that an area to really work on?
Yeah. No, I mean, I this might be a self-interested sort of notion, but I do think that like progressivism is better when it puts feminism at its center, when women are the sort of center of the conversation, because women... if when women do better, everybody does better, mm-hmm. which would be, you know. And I think that's like why I've been excited about the Clinton campaign in particular, because sure. she's been running on that very notion, and it's been, I've never seen anything like it, man.
Is there anything that you've covered that's changed your mind about a previously held opinion? Like whether it was an opinion about a candidate or just, you know, or an issue, just anything that you've done where you, as you learned more, your own worldview was shifted?
God, yeah, all the time. Yeah. It's tough to think of an example, but yeah, I mean, one of the things you learn as a journalist, if you're good or, you know, try to be at all, is to like really learn the value of an open mind and how hard it really is to have one. Mm-hmm. It really, really is. Like, you have to, I've seen people that have done this work for decades and they still just like shut down at, you know, information that it runs con. I know it happens to me. It happens to all people. Yeah. But yeah, you know, it's fun to learn things.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah.
It's fun to learn things.
Well, it's people are bad at not having preconceived notions or biases or whatever, that sort of thing getting in the way of every aspect of your life. It's really, it can be hard to be open-minded, even if you consider yourself like a fairly open-minded person in general. There's stuff that you're, mm-hmm. you know, just not going to accept, like the Star Trek reboot for some people, or, yeah. or you know, equality of in gender, or just concepts of gender itself. People just some things like they can be, oh, I'm great, and then there's like a thing that they don't realize is a block. For them.
Is there anything that it's okay to not have an open mind about? I'm thinking like bigotry and prejudice. I mean, like, yeah. I don't have an open mind about racists. Like, I've actually been accused of being a bigoted toward bigots.
Like a meta bigot.
Yeah, which is great. Like, you won't accept the fact that I hate gay people. It's like, you're right, I won't. Like, it's,
yeah.
So, yeah, I publicly stated I didn't have an open mind about same-sex marriage.
I'm yeah.
Like, if you think same-sex marriage is wrong, I don't. Honestly, give a fuck.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you don't want to be an idiot.
Well, I feel like there's all this, you know, like, oh, we got to keep an open mind about everything. But then everything means like keeping an open mind about the positivity of a Trump presidency.
No.
And, I mean,
I think of having an open mind as considering the evidence and the arguments and giving them fair weight and then making a conclusion. Yeah. I think you're allowed to draw conclusions based on Excellent. The weight of the evidence. And I think. Yeah, no, that's actually been like that particularly has been a lodestone, like a problem for me, like because I've been seeing a lot of people making so many excuses for both Trump supporters and the Brexit voters.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no.
Did you cover the Brexit stuff? I mean, do you cover international politics?
Not really. I mean, I wrote a piece like basically making the point that I found the evidence that it was rooted in economic frustration extremely unconvincing. The evidence that it was rooted in just blatant racism extremely convincing. Yeah.
And I think there's clear parallels there to, I mean, the upcoming presidential election. Like, yeah. People can say it's about anything else, but it really seems like the most vocal outpourings of support for Trump are racist.
And the political data is just undeniable. I mean, the best predictor of if somebody's going to be a Trump supporter is if they are racist.
How the fuck do we...
How do you poll for that? I just want to know. Yeah. Do you like ask... Are you racist?
They call them.
Are you sure?
They call them up and ask them questions like, "Do you think that white people are more oppressed than black people in this country?"
Oh shit! All right, that ought to do it.
Do you think our country's problems would be solved by closing our borders or like
stuff like that? Like they call it like racial attitudes or something like some sort of soft.
Do men or women have more power in America?
Yeah, that sort of thing.
You're saying there's clear evidence supporting that, and there's it's not like anecdotal. There's, you know, it's obvious to anyone who's making conclusions from the evidence we have available. Why the fuck aren't people listening? Why aren't people paying attention to it? Why don't people buy it or believe it? It's not rare to see articles calling out like Donald Trump's racism or supporters' racism or inherent problems with I'm hesitant to say his platform because what is it really beyond I'm not Hillary Clinton?
And big dick.
Yeah.
Don't worry
about it. It's why the fuck
if
aren't
you want
people...
me to show it at one of the debates, I'll show it at one of the debates.
Why aren't people being convinced by this? Why aren't people paying attention or open?
You know, I think it's because it's too terrible to really believe. People really just want it to be something else. They want it to be, you know, white working class people are just mad about the declining economy. Well, there's no evidence that Trump supporters are working class, first of all.
Yeah.
They are white. but, you know, Trump supporters make about $11,000 more a year on average than Clinton or Sanders supporters did.
Oh, wow.
So, like, there's no evidence there. I think you're just... It's a really good example of people arguing backwards from a conclusion, which is it's too terrible to believe this many people in our country are that awful.
Yeah, I think that... I honestly think that most people want to hope for the best in other people, and they call you jaded if you don't, because I don't think that that everyone has the other people's best interest in mind. I think most of us are pretty self-interested by nature. We can't help it. And so hearing someone say the things that you're afraid to say out loud, which I think is what a lot of Trump supporters are getting, is these are all the things I can't say at work or I'll get in trouble. Like, you know, I can't say this or HR gets mad, but he's saying the truth about what I feel. He's speaking to my little racist heart, and therefore he must have a good plan. Do you think that he has a chance? I'm just curious. Like, do you think, like, how worried are you in terms of, like, legitimate adult concern and not, like, you know, hand-wringing?
I'm definitely, like, there's kind of, in liberal journalism, there's sort of two teams. There's Team Bedwetter and Team It's Gonna Be Cool.
Oh my God, we need shirts.
And
that's like the two lesser known houses of Hogwarts.
Yeah. No, Team Bedwetter is Hufflepuff.
All credit to
Oh, poor Hufflepuff, yeah.
All credit to David Plouffe for being like, he's like, don't, like, put the Depends away all the time. Like,
that's great.
And I think that I'm definitely team It's Gonna Be Cool. Like, I just don't see how it happens. Like,
I think he'd quit. Even if he got elected, I think he'd quit.
An audience member has just shouted, and I'm just going to point out, since we're recording, I need to repeat that the audience member said that's what they said about Brexit.
Yeah.
We have a firewall that England doesn't. 40% of our voters are people of color.
Yeah.
Like, only 15% or something. No, I think it's even less than that in England. So, I mean, I would say that I wouldn't worry about it. Like, the math doesn't add up. It's possible. Anything is possible. 538 gives it like a 20% chance of happening.
Hmm. If he's the Republican nominee, of course it's possible. It is one of only two potential outcomes, really, unless somehow Gary Johnson.
Huh.
Anyway, I'm sorry. I couldn't even get it all out.
Yeah. Go ahead. Waste your vote on a third party.
You couldn't get all that about Johnson out? I'm sorry. We went like 10 minutes without a dick joke, you guys. I just...
But on the other hand, there's Jill... No, I'm sorry.
Yeah. If you were just like one day you were just like, fuck it, I can't do politics anymore. Like this is... If you get to a point sometimes where you're like frustrated about affecting the world or change or whatever, would you move into journalism of any other topic or any other area?
There's a part of me that would like to believe that I could do that or would, but then like 5 minutes later, I'd be like, motherfucking Trump.
Scrap the article on gardens. I'm going in.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that though. It's your passion. It's your, outrage or whatever you want to call it. Like you can focus it like a laser and make it productive.
Yeah, it's personal to me. You should have seen me the day that Whole Women's Health was decided. I usually work from home, but I was in the office that day. And I literally got up and ran around my desk punching the air. And my editor's like, what is it? And they hadn't even released a decision yet. I just said, Stephen Breyer's writing it. And he came out and high-fived me. I mean, you know, he knew what that meant.
Yeah, at my office, the day that the marriage vote was going through in Minnesota, we were all watching. Like most people I knew were watching on their computers during the workday. No one. It was just one of those like.
There was no yeah, work got done in yeah, Minnesota. That day.
I even said to my boss, not I'm by like, I'm watching anyway. It, like, and just like happy crying and hugging and people going from office to office and being like yes, and it was just so fun to see people get politically active on that. That I hope that with this upcoming presidential election, whatever happens, that all of these people who were, you know, Sanders supporters or Hillary supporters, Trump supporters, that they turn that to somewhere else and try to do something, you know, other than the presidential election.
Well, I think if Trump gets elected, he is going to need people to build that wall. And
No. Mexico's going to do it. They're going to just...
Mexico's going to pay for it, but it's going to be on our side of the border, and we don't want Mexicans over here.
Tim, Mexicans are the ones who build stuff. Everyone knows that.
Oh, boy.
It's not racist if I'm making fun of racists, right? I don't know. Okay.
So, you're... God damn it. You're the Skeptics, and so are you... Do you identify as an atheist?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you... Was that something that just kind of happened naturally, or was there... Was like a big rift? Was it gradual?
Well, everyone asks atheists this, especially ones that are kind of politically active, and I hate to disappoint. I was not raised religious.
No, that's great.
That's great. That's
we like, love hearing that.
Yeah. I mean, I was baptized, but I wasn't confirmed. We never went to church. My parents never talked about God. Like, and so my sister and I just sort of vaguely fell into not believing anything.
Mm-hmm. Did you?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, no, go ahead.
Did you have any kind of disconnect growing up from other kids who were? Like, I know my sister and brother were the same way, and they used to, my sister would be like, everyone else does something. They have something. They're Christians or Jews, and we're nothing, and I'm mad.
we did have a church. We just didn't go to it. So I didn't feel that. But yeah, a little bit because two of my best friends in high school, I grew up in rural West Texas, so everybody went to church. And like, you know, two of my best friends were preachers' kids. You know, and they were really like nice liberal preachers, but you know, it's still kind of strange that like my friends would do things like pray, and I was like, why? And I remember like asking them once, one of them, I was like, do you really believe in heaven? Like that people go to a heaven, and what do you think that's like? And she thought I was crazy for not.
Sure.
But it was more curiosity to me. I was like, such a strange thing to believe.
Yeah, it really is.
Healthy, natural skepticism.
When you pray over dinner, is that so you don't choke on the chicken bone? Is that?
It's to give thanks, right? Isn't that the thing?
To give thanks, yes.
Yeah, rub a dub dub, thanks.
You're thanking God for the fact that your mom knew how to cook
exactly.
a chicken.
Exactly. We had to work to get the money to buy the food. We made the food. Now we're going to chew the food ourselves and swallow it, but thanks someone else.
It feels like you should thank the grocer or the farmer or something.
Somebody, a farmer,
at least the farmer.
Thank the people who did the work.
Thank photosynthesis.
And on that note, we're going to move on to five questions.
Five questions.
Molly, do you want to start us off?
Yes. Question number one. What's a movie you will stop and watch anytime it's on?
Your last guest took my answer.
Right on.
Just going to say like a good number of Quentin Tarantino movies, especially the Kill Bill movies. They just are so good looking. They're impossible to look away from.
The Kill Bill, especially one, but also two. I often say they're my favorite Tarantino movies. I don't know if I think they're the best of his movies, but I can just watch them over and over and over again.
I think Inglourious Bastards might be his best.
I love it.
That's a really good one. It's really
when people are hesitant about like the upcoming Star Wars movie, Rogue One, like a standalone. I'm like, oh no, it's gonna be like Dirty Dozen, and they're like, eh. I'm like, it's gonna be like Inglourious Bastards, and people go, oh.
And you're like, it's the same movie. Inglourious Basterds just has more fucks in it.
Which I'm pro. I'm pro more fucks in movies.
I'm going to make bad Germans next year that just say pro fucks.
That you'll get arrested for soliciting in Bloomington. It's pro fucks.
Okay, question number two. What is your geekiest or most prized possession?
Well, probably my Game of Thrones art collection.
Ooh.
Which was my boyfriend, it's sentimental too, because he commissioned a bunch of different artists to paint me paintings from the Game of Thrones. But the best part was I had read the books and he hadn't. And so he was always mad at me for knowing spoilers. And so he secretly read the books over the summer for my birthday. And he brought all these paintings out and they were all the spoilers.
That's awesome.
And I was like, this is both the geekiest thing that's ever happened to me, and you really love me a lot, don't you?
It's so romantic.
That is an amazing gift.
I love that.
That's, I think commissioned art is such a brilliant gift.
Yeah.
I'm never going to be able to do something that nice for my wife.
We know.
Pretty,
she knows too.
I'm pretty depressed right now. She's listening to this episode like 3 weeks from
she's
when we recorded.
She's nodding.
She's like, yeah, that son of a bitch.
You're going to come home and she's going to have custom art for you waiting just to rub it in. Question number three. What supernatural, magical, or all-powerful being do you wish was real?
Oh, Pegasus.
Yeah.
If you've ever read The Magicians, I think that ride a Pegasus, screw dragons.
Just real quick tangent. Like, okay, Molly and I both read the books. We love the books. The show we thought is awful.
It's awful.
It's so
okay,
terrible.
Good. All right, good. Just
I'm glad we're on the same page as that because
you can like it. That's fine.
It's fine.
We think it's awful.
It's
we know the truth.
We have the microphones. That means we're right. So.
Yeah.
Sorry, question number four, which I just forgot. Thank you. Say religion is gone. What's the biggest problem that humanity now faces?
Donald Trump still, probably?
Yeah.
No, it's legitimate.
Do you think that the Republican Party would still be as focused on like abortion as an issue or like opposing gay rights, things like that, if there wasn't the like religious motivation to get like those religious people voting?
No, yeah, that's totally about religion. Yeah. And I think those sentiments don't come from religion. I think they come from prejudice, but they are justified by religion.
Yes.
And without religion, it's very difficult to imagine being like coming up with justifications for these beliefs.
Yeah, agreed.
Maybe you don't have an answer for this, but before I go on to the fifth question, just because you are a political reporter, I have the question to ask. Do you think Donald Trump really believes in God?
No.
No, I don't think so either.
He's an
egotist.
I don't
think that man's darkened the church door since he was screwing his mistress. And
I think he's far too much of an egomaniac to believe in a God.
He believes in Donald Trump.
Yeah,
I don't think he could believe in anything bigger than himself.
Yeah. Because
he's huge.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Grade A narcissist, yeah.
That's Tim.
So question number five, the real question number five, what is your favorite quote?
And on that topic, the one that comes up to me a lot these days is, I think of a lot these days, is Molly Ivan's crack about Pat Buchanan's 1992 speech at the Republican National Convention when she said, "I liked it better than the original German."
Oh.
I think about that a lot these
brilliant.
Days.
Damn. No, Molly Ivan.
God, she's great.
Yeah. Molly Ivan's was great.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Amanda Marcotte, for being our guest today. Do you have a blog that you want to, where can people find your writing?
Well, I'm a staff writer now for Salon.
Right.
And you can follow me on Twitter. It's just at Amanda Marcotte. I try to keep it simple for people.
Right on.
Awesome.
That's great. Otherwise, we're Geeks Without God. We put out new episodes every Tuesday. You can find us on Facebook, like us on Twitter, and, we're on Patreon. And if you, throw us a few bucks there a month. We have, stickers, buttons. You can listen in on our recordings on a Google Hangout at a certain amount. And we just want to thank all our Patreon supporters now. And otherwise, we'll see you with another episode next week.
Bye, everyone. Convergence 2016.
Yeah.
You
did a good job. I'm trying to think of what scenario would get me to vote for Donald Trump, and all of them involve some sort of alien mind control.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks.
We're geeks.
We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
We're geeks.
We're geeks without God.
We're geeks. Geeks without God.
Thanks a lot, everyone. Enjoy your dinner break.